Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
tips on editing a paper when you've had strokes and stuff like that. So there may be things for people who don't have strokes and stuff like that, and that type of stuff, but in general, it's as if you're on a game board and you've put into another game board that no one's really playing, and the light isn't on and no one's really trying to push you forward, and you can achieve things, but your achievement is in general, say, walking or breathing or coordination is going from 5% to 15% of everybody else. And as far as I can, as a lot of people can see, that's just so far back, it's like no progress whatsoever. But for you, it's a huge, huge amount of progress. Now, one of the things is that in your regular life, you get feedback, and people give feedback, which is not necessarily, when you come to think about it, the most sensible stuff. So I've been writing papers for years and got a few out, and I wonder how I've done it. But I realise that a lot of people's feedback, a lot of the structure, has been pruning and shaping to actually get in. And so it's a little bit, it's almost as though, a comet has hit a farm and all the fences are down and the animals are mixing and you get a wild time in the farm. It's not that productive. But it's sort of like has always been a slightly unruly farm up the top here. And so I've always produced some pretty way out, wacky ideas. And people have been quote unquote helping by saying, no, look, that idea's not going to go ahead. No, just drop that idea. Now, what's happened is that when you've been put on the shelf, like this toy is defective, let's return it to the toy shop, and at night, the little batteries light up and I clack around and stuff like that. Now, a lot of the defective stuff is actually the core operating meat of what I have. So I've written this paper, and it's been an absolute saga. And in it is this sort of crazy sort of mixing in a sort of cake mix of different ideas. The flour and the eggs and everything's mixed up. And it's a bit like cookie dough or cake mixture. There is this thing where you don't, if you over mix it, you get cream. You get butter. Or you, if you over do muffin dough, it tastes like a cake. It doesn't taste doughy. And to a certain extent, I think that a lot of people operate sort of over processing and cutting things off. Yeah. I hope this might help you, or it helps me in terms of realizing, look, there's no one helping editing. There's a fundamental idea, series of ideas, sort of like a network, a spaghetti of ideas crisscrossing this and linking in a way. And that piece of spaghetti doesn't line up to that one, but it's still connected in sort of a way. And so I've been going through without having the quote-unquote benefit of fly-by-night editors who waltz in. I'm not saying they're bad, and in a certain sense, they're not adding value. And after a certain amount of time, they must realise that their activity is not adding value. So if you're not in the scope for where they can add, it's sort of like this reverse psychology that they sort of like to sort of like a plumber repair job, and what happens is that they listen, they've got enough work out there, they can pick and choose amongst the amount of stuff. So what they want is sort of like it's a new housing development, and there is, you know, it's a fairly clear outcome, and it's a fairly short-term thing that there's a transaction going to happen in the near future. It's not sort of old pensioners in a sort of a hovel can last a long time, and then there, if you make them wait 3 weeks, that's not so bad. So therefore, you can sort of make them wait 2 weeks. So there's not that urgency. So I certainly feel that if you've got young people. And one of the things, interesting things, is that I have this thing where very, very few people voluntarily, spontaneously reply to my emails. Now, I sort of understand this, but it's sort of like a big contrast. Oh, look, there's either a woman dressed up or it looks like a clown. Oh, it is a clown. Oh, dear. I thought that woman is... I haven't seen a woman with a perm like that for a long time, but no, it was a clown walking as I walk home. Getting back into it, when I was in the situation of a school, you'd respond to everything and everything would be instant high response. And you have to sort of understand that that's a bit of an artificial environment. Also, like when you go to Toastmasters, everyone is... You know, you've got a minute, and that's as much as people can really afford. And they're listening to you as sort of like the first take of listening. And that is, people hear you but don't really listen when you speak about it. And so they sort of tune like that, and then they pick up. And if they can pick up a few little tune in, they can tune in, and they hear a little bit of music and a bit of a few signposts. And by the time you've got all the metadata of your communication, it's going to be nice. The amount of information that you can actually pack in is just a news headline. And I think a lot of things people go like that. Now, however, if you are a research scientist, and the problem is evolved, so there's going to be a whole lot of car noise coming down here. It's not as bad as it was earlier on. If you're a research scientist, you will sort of stick with a problem, and if the problem is really a sort of a long-term problem, it's not at a certain hour, it's a day, night, morning, breakfast, lunchtime problem. It takes on different aspects of it. Different people come in and out, and the problem stays there, but different audiences come in. And at any point in time, people observe only for a short while, and often it's a problem named by a whole lot of different names by different groups and different people. And when you stick at it, you start to wind up with a whole series of like a murder mystery, trying to actually work out what's going on. G'day. That's the murder mystery, trying to actually work out what's going on. All these different people have completely different views of what's going on, and a complete intolerance of the fact that there could be different views. So you're like the detective turning up, and none of the suspects have a clue that anybody else could be in the frame. They're all sure that they know that there is something wrong, that a crime's committed, and they go ahead. So you sort of start off from your detective's notebook of ideas, a spaghetti of different things coming across, and add into this these two other factors. One is that you tend to be a very non sequitur. The zucchini landed on the sofa. My God, a llama's cooking pancakes in the kitchen type of person. And it all comes together, and you can actually see how this can add together, even though on the surface it's non sequiturs. And essentially, this is what very much happens in your classic murder mystery, is that there are what look like non sequiturs, but looking at it for a long time, you actually, the person comes in. Now, it's a little bit different if you are watching an Inspector Morse or a Murder, She Wrote, just to get you some old things, or a Chuck Norris Texas Rangers. Oh, gee, this is so noisy coming along here. That type of stuff, because you know that part of the deal is that it's okay to have non-sequiturs at the start. This is things which don't add up, because it's going to be revealed later on. But for the rest of your life, if you're not watching a detective mystery, that's off. You know, your tolerance, you can build your tolerance off. So I've been writing these research papers. Now, the first couple have been just, what you can say, like firing down thing down range. And so what's the motivation? Well, it is a bit like shooting down range in terms of I can't describe what. It would be really interesting to know what I fire like now, through this. But there is this sort of self-talk as you sort of settle down, you put the hearing protection on, you can suddenly hear yourself breathing, which is sort of like, because sort of like, you think there's a serenity. I wonder with those earphones, noise cancelling earphones you can hear, but you put your earphones in and you suddenly feel as though you've got a head cold or something like that, and breathing, and your eyes wear out pretty quickly, sort of focusing in and out, and whoa, see the off-wheel road, four-wheel drive just churning up the taxpayers' money, and everyone rushing obviously off to watch a TV program or get home or waste time on the sofa or something like that. Okay, getting back to it all. There is this sort of self-talk, and you have a little bit of a story of it. You know, something's coming, and then the targets mechanically flip up, and you have to sort of move from one to the other and listen to instructions and whatever. So, you don't get necessarily points for getting every bullseye. You have to sort of get them on target as instructed. All this sort of complex stuff. But in order to be listening, you have this backstory. And so, in a certain sense, a lot of the early papers, which were poems, or not poems, but like children's stories, structures and stuff like that, there was this sort of like this self-talk coming up. And it's sort of like the short-range targets, and then this long paper. And how long have I been writing it? Probably 10,000 words for 10 months, and it's not. There has been like two drafts completely written and ripped up, and then come across these principles sort of layer down. Principle on sentence structure, word structure, paragraph length come in, a bit of structure comes in, but it's still very, very much a mess. And you sort of say, hang on, well, if I, you know, no Gettysburg address, Lincoln, oh, not that this is at all close. Well, there were elements in it, sort of four score and sort of slightly eloquent language there. But Lincoln didn't sit down, or I suppose he wrote his own Gettysburg address, that would be interesting. But he didn't go down and go to the internet, sort of speech, write me a famous speech.com and drop down what era, Civil War, audience will not heckle, all this stuff. You can imagine someone heckling. I suppose they did early on heckle Hitler, but there's certain things that comes across. It's writing these structures. Now, there's some mechanical things of basically, it's sort of like not akin, not unlike the learning to walk again, or, well, yeah, quite seriously, you can only manage so much hunched up with your sternum cut in half, but then there was also learning to basically move and shuffle. I can definitely now know that some of my movement wasn't related to my sternum and stuff like that, but you can just keep on pushing and pushing. And so some of the things that I come across is the need to go from really raw to a structure that can be corrected. Now, that's a bizarre thing. Well, a lot of people have an entry point that they can write things and it's up and ready to be edited. But initially when you're writing things, the actual, this sentence, no verb, cat on mat, I'm not quite that type of stuff. You can pick that up by audio, and then there's several things. One is the text to speech. You have to actually, there's a little element of training your head to listen to it, and this is something I've realized that people get trained. Google's has done so much, and I don't know who's Siri, and I've forgotten what the Apple is Siri, Cortina, I've forgotten what Google is, but they've done so much, and they have really moved it from 30 to 60%, and what we've done is we've actually trained ourselves to listen to basically an advanced Stephen Hawking all the time, saying, the universe is full of atoms which are mostly empty. So I can't do a Stephen Hawking impression, but we've done that. And so getting your text to speech, and so in a certain sense, before you can actually train to listen to text to speech, you've got to train on something a little bit closer. And a little bit closer is actually putting it into Google WaveNet. And Google WaveNet produces this beautifully synthesized, nuanced voice. It doesn't sound like another person. To an Australian, it sounds a little bit odd. I think this is the actual nature of GoogleNet. To me, it sounds a little bit like a New Zealander has gotten into my computer, and it's putting the odd inflection, which I haven't quite picked up. It sounds as though it's got an idea about what it's doing with the inflection, but sort of like a bit hard. So New Zealand Kiwi accents stand out like anything in Australia, the Kiwi. It doesn't come across. So you need that first thing, and that migrates your paper up to a certain point. Then, when it's migrated up to a certain point, it can go several ways. Now, one of the interesting things which has really helped me on sort of the longer papers, so this 10,000 word thing is 15 pages back to back, not quite double space, but the critical thing for it is having line numbers. So when you print it out back to back, so you're not all over the place, so you can, you've got a sheet of paper and you're in the back of a car or somewhere like that and you want to go into the next sheet, you just flip it over. So it's a whole lot of less flapping around, double-sided. But having the line numbers is the key thing. And I don't know whether this helps everybody, but it certainly helps people with a bit of story. And if I can sort of say what happens, so and this is an awful thing to admit, the actual, what you can do is you can start the computer, and it's in Microsoft Word, not 2007, possibly anything in the 2013s and stuff like that, but a bit after Word 360 suites, and stuff, they have the read aloud stuff. And so in the review, you go read aloud and you click it. You've got two voices, and initially the voices are complete crap. And they're not so crap in that your style of writing is not a natural style of writing. So the combination, there's not enough flexibility in the Microsoft software to read normally. So you have to actually put it into Google. Then it reads enough, then you listen to enough, then you restructure it, then it gets natural, and then it's ready to go back to Microsoft. So Microsoft is absolutely a beautiful thing to do. So as you press on it, and it's going through, and it's actually it's highlighting the cursor where you hear something, and you hear something far out. You press Control Spacebar, it stops it, and then you find out where you're your thing is, and then you do your edit. Now, obviously, line numbers across. So that's a powerful thing. But again, that sort of only gets to you from a certain level of muck, and then typing it out leaves you where I suppose the average non-stroko. I wonder what you call. If I had enough stroke people, I'd be able to bully non-stroke people. Wouldn't that be fantastic? You get to the point where most people start, and that is with their printed draft, and they can actually work with the printed stuff sufficiently long. And if I can go back, one of the things is, it's not that you run out of batteries, but you can't predict that you're going to run out of batteries. So having a stroke's a little bit like having dodgy phone batteries. So you've got to have your power saver on, but if someone calls you up and something happens and it's a hot day, the power goes. Particularly listening to this, what happens is obviously you don't go, oh my god, I'm falling asleep, press the control thing, stop it, and let's pause and wake up again. What happens is you drift off asleep, and this paper is roughly an hour's worth of listening to, and really it's taken me a while to build up podcasting for a long time, but I still haven't got there. And so it takes a bit to listen to it. Now, that's ready. It's then ready for the YouTube stuff. Now, there is the YouTube stuff, YouTube editing. So what it is that if you can imagine a thing where you're looking for people to work, to be interested, to be across, so you can go up. And if I can, I don't want to keep on going on rifles. I did much more than that, but I must admit, I fell victim to the idea that if I could get the corporals to inspect my rifle enough, their white gloves and whatever it is, there's a little plum weight that you drop down your rifle on a string to pull your 4B two down. That'd do enough, and that would clean up my rifle. And so I had this impression that by just submitting something sufficiently often to editors and stuff like that, the interest would stay forever, and they would suggest one small of edit and produce across. And that there was a situation where you realise this. It's only afterwards, when you do it, you realise, oh no, this can't work. And I did something a little bit similar to that in writing school reports, my godfather. And I sort of now understand why things were so problematic. So this is where writing school reports, I'd have certain fields in a spreadsheet, fill it in, it would compose something. But before that, I lined up a whole series of report writing bits of software. So you put in the report one area, and it would go from one piece of software to the next and produce something at the end. Well, I think the first thing it did, time it did it, it would produce something wonderful. I mean, William Shakespeare would go, oh, I'm going to start decomposing. Oh, what's happened here, mate? But no. But after that, it produced complete double speak, double, triple, negative, inflective, conditional, plus, blue, perfect, stuff like it. I think it could have been possible. I don't know. The software didn't produce it, but to actually engineer it, knock it into shape, is a bit like Anne of Green Gables. If he had bothered to look up, he would have seen a lovely red-haired girl with freckles wishing to be queen of the world. But unfortunately, that didn't happen. He actually stubbed his toe instead. And all this, you can imagine various parents who actually, it's a boy you're talking about, who hasn't got red hair, but not that quite a thing going through. So if getting people to read your work is not on, and the reason is that someone reading your work is like a transform. It's like a matrix transform. It sort of diagonalizes your matrix a little bit. And this is sort of another sort of complex idea that I have, and this is looking at things with a bit of matrix algebra. So matrix algebra has a whole series of things, like whole systems have a whole series of things. Something has an eigenfunction. All this complex function returns the same function, it's either bigger or smaller. So it's sort of like this, it's sort of like a zap ray, a function, an eigenfunction is a zap ray, and you point it at an object, and every object you point at it makes it a little bit bigger or smaller, the same one. And once you've got one of those, is you can keep on blotting away. You've got the ideal weaponry if you've got these eigenfunctions down the chain of your if it's linear, either linear or linear differential equations, it's down the strip. And although it may be very confusing, you can actually diagonalize your matrix. And if you can't diagonalize the matrix, you keep on firing at it, and you change your coffee pot into a penguin, and your penguin into a sea of snakes, and it becomes chaotic very quick. And that's sort of a definition of chaos. Now, of course, this is horrible, but it's sort of like a thing that if you if you've got an idea of a set of ideas, people automatically think that it can be resolved, so it's not chaotic. And sort of fundamentally, one of the things you get out that you've got a human endeavor. Like I'm writing a paper on basic social robots, which have got they've got fucking something to say. It's a social robot, and it's doing quantum mechanics. It's not saying welcoming you to a visitor center. It's a social robot, and it's teaching you about magnetism. I think this is the sort of the missing link in social robots. But then you've got the other thing aspect is that by the time you actually look at any human problems, you can step back and say, hang on, not everyone's agreeing here. It's incredibly sensitive to starting positions, and it's been manipulated by game playing. This is a fundamental aspect of, I obviously can't get this into a paper, but there's a basic game theory going on here, which means that if you've got a stable process, people are planning to make it chaotic so they can win. And then you've got people trying to chaoticize the chaos. I mean, it's sort of like control of chaos. And so you're writing your brain's chaotic. And it sort of seems like stepping back, it's the masterstroke. You've got people trying to be sort of under the table, poker face, but underneath not being genuine. And this is really getting back to sort of the nature of humans. And I suppose I am a human trying to write it. But getting back to it, you've got this Word document, and you can press read aloud. Then what you can do is you can get it to read view. So you can have edit view and read view. Read view, great for reading, bad for editing. Edit view, bad for editing, great. Edit view, bad for reading, great for editing. It's great. Now, you can put that down, and you can get your read view into a nice little window, Microsoft Windows. So you get down to the window size of the window, you adjust it there, and you've got it in read view, and it will read. And furthermore, if you can control it, you can put it into high contrast reading. And then, this is where it goes, what you don't do is you don't put it into camstasia. You don't look for something with huge amounts of add-ons and things like that. It can do absolutely everything. Because there's two reasons. One, it's very poor at doing that in real time. in a reasonable time. It's very poor in memory. It's very poor in general. And also, you tend to pay money. It's generally about how much money should you pay for a piece of software. Or ultimately, perhaps nothing, but it tends to be around 80 Australian dollars or 50 US dollars. 50 US dollars seems, people, it's like it's more expensive than a cup of coffee. Donuts and petrol, still more expensive. Oh, I think I'll pay for it. You know, this type of stuff is not beer money that you're asked to produce for this. So avoiding that, you can actually do Windows G, which will get you into the Windows 10 gaming console. Wow, most people use their computers for work and not for gaming. If your worker knows about this, it's a bit of a watch what they do in their spare time. But it's a Windows gaming console, and if Windows gaming console has been deactivated, you right-click your Windows area, pull up and open Microsoft Gaming. Gaming console goes on, and then it's Windows Alt R to start recording your screen. Now, g'day. Where's all the controls? How does it work out? Well, Windows has actually an active, well, in general, it has an active gaming screen, this gaming console. And when you do that, it actually records the screen. And you then just run the screen and it produces your Word document, a Word YouTube, which I've put up a few of, but the realization is that, my God, I've got so much editing to do. And one of the things is that it's not like firing downrange and if you get a short distance, you can see your group, but it's not until you actually get it organized and you can walk up and you can see your grouping. You can see, my godfather, I don't need a scope, I need a new brain. Well, basically, yeah, I need a new brain. And that's the message of it. And coming back and editing it. And I'm trying to model the editing, sort of look at depaper DT, or depaper depaper version 1, diversion 1, oh sorry, version 1 minus version 2 over time, delta time, to try and work out whether it's got a sort of a real component in the exponential and it's calming down, or it's oscillating, or what is it doing? And does it come down? Does it have sort of hidden upswings? And in general, you realize that you sort of the brain power to actually select a word. You select pretty much the most dumb vanilla word off. So there's a bit of selection of words. There's a bit of structure. You've got to remove certain things as you realize that this is so many aspirational things to get this strand of spaghetti of an idea in. So that's through. But ultimately, that's put on hold. And on top of this is another drama of a lightning bolt. Lightning bolts in these dreadful storms have rained lightning, massive lightning strikes, which has come on Australia's internet. And we've said we're not going to do fibre to the curb because we had to tell you, you're not that important, you're not that productive. It's actually not good business to actually give Australians up-to-date things. So we've got fibre to 100 metres from your home, and that means that the strike lightning has to be really good. And so lightning has hit us twice in a week, not to say it. And so there's that thing coming over the top. Now, over now, I've just managed to speak coherently for a while. Thanks a lot for listening. I'm back home now. Thank you.
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.